Jesus went on with his disciples to the village of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist." And others answered, "Elijah." And still others, "One of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. That's Mark 8:27 through 30 of the New Revised Standard Version. Who do you say I am? Even Jesus knew that words have power. In my Wiccan tradition, we say words have power, and that to name something is to have power over it. And I think this is what Jesus is getting at here in this passage. And I think we as a whole don't really realize just how powerful our words are. I think that's especially true of us clergy types, because we are influenced by society around us. So of course we're going to use the words that are used in society. And that could be the words of health that we use in a society to demean people based on their body size, or the words of gender that people will use in order to hurt transgendered women, or, you know, using the wrong pronouns with somebody, or using words of rape, using words of violence, telling people that they're bad because they don't do certain things. And even, you know, as I've talked about in several other places, you know, you're not a good witch if you don't do X, or you're not a good whatever if you don't do whatever. And it really bugs me when I see clergy especially using these words and not really thinking about the effect that this has in a spiritual place. And I don't think a lot of people really think about what happens in spiritual space. And, you know, in Wicca, we call this creating the magical space and creating the circle, and that it's really hard in a magical space to be dishonest. But I want to posit that no matter what religious space you're in, when you are in that space and you have called in spirit, you are now in a space where people are impressionable, and what you name and how you say it, what you name in that space, has extreme power. I mean, think about how religion is used to condemn gay people. These were words spoken from the pulpit by people like Oral Roberts, Pat Buchanan, spoken in a spiritual context, in a spiritual space, and they had power. Now, things have since turned around since their early days. But, you know, think about even like the Pope, right? Pope Benedict was condemning gays, no problem, boom, done. And then Pope Francis comes along and he's talking about, you know, helping the poor again and all of that. And his words have power because he is a man of God. He is listened to because he is the Pope. But even just priests, you know, regular priests, nuns, any religious. And it doesn't even matter what tradition you're in. Your words have power as a priest. So if you were there saying, "Hey, I'm a priest of blah, blah, blah," and then you're sitting there condemning somebody because of their skin color, their body size, their gender identity, anything like that, what are you really saying to the people that you serve? You know, you don't know exactly who's going to come to you. And people aren't always going to tell you what's on their mind. People aren't going to sit there and automatically assume that you are going to listen to them, especially if you start talking about this in a religious setting. I know for me, I really have to think about what I put online, what I put on Facebook. You know, yeah, sometimes I cuss. And, you know, and I used to cuss a lot worse. And for some reason, my cussing has come back since seminary, but I think that's just trying to get papers out. But I do have to think about the words that I use. For example, I try to use body-inclusive language in everything that I do for Between the Worlds Church and on This Week in Heresy. Now, do I always get it right? Of course not. I'm not going to, because I'm human and that's just the way things go. However, I want to be inclusive of every body size as much as I possibly can. So, you know, one of the things that I thought of is, how do I make it inclusive for somebody to come to my service? And not only is it the words that I use, but also the actions behind the words. So I came up with, well, what if we had an anointing that was blessed at the same time as the Eucharist? So that somebody, if somebody had problems with food or their body or anything like that, can have alternate things to do during that time that's still blessed as part of the ritual. And I remember somebody coming up to me afterwards saying I had never felt so accepted as a person of size anywhere. And I was just blown away. But, you know, we're told so many things that our body should not be or that we shouldn't be in so many ways, in so many contexts. But to have that in a spiritual context, that's so devastating. I mean, I know I've talked about my former coven and, you know, the words that he told me about who I was and who I should have been are still things that come up every now and again. And it took a lot of healing to get over that. You know, think about Jonestown, you know, it took, he convinced through his words a whole bunch of people to drink laced Kool-Aid. Think about that. He didn't force it down their throat. He wasn't injecting people. He convinced them with his words and what he said. It's a bit of an extreme example, but it's true. It can have devastating effects. So some of what prompted this is that I was online and I had seen someone who I know to be a clergy type person talking about, you know, they had this picture of a buff person and saying, oh, this is what I think I look like. And then had a picture of a very fat woman and in the comments saying, this is the reality. Now, what does that say to the people that they serve? You know, fat is bad. So if someone could think that that person may think that because they are a fat person that they would be bad. It's not hard to do that to somebody. It's not hard to really hurt somebody that way. And you wouldn't even know. I wouldn't even know if I had done something like that. I mean, I try not to. I try to be very mindful of what I post online and what I talk about. But you never know who is reading your stuff. You never know who is going to come to you for any advice. You never know who. And you may never find out that you have hurt somebody that way. But if you can be conscious of what you say, and at least try to be as good about it as you can, then, you know, you may never know, But, you know, you can at least think that you've tried. You've tried to be as inclusive and as uplifting and as powerful as you can without hurting somebody. It's hard. It's not easy. It's hard to, you know, hit the stop button or hit the delete button when you really want to say something. I mean, I there's so many times where I really kept my mouth shut and really, you know, not hit send. It's like, is this really worth doing harm? Is this really worth the drama? Is this really worth doing? And more often than not, the answer is no. And, you know, I'm glad I'm aware of the language that I use. So I hope, you know, that I've made you at least think about what language you use when you are working with people, especially if you're clergy. Because you never know. And it's funny because you don't really think about some of the language that you use because it's been so ingrained in us from the cradle that we use it all the time. And you may not know. You know, it's like a lot of people talking about inherent racism in our society. This is one of the things about it, right? We grew up, especially if you're a white person in this country, you know, we grew up with the embedded racism of our society. Now, how do we counter that? Well, we have to think about the words that we talk about and the things that we say, you know, and, you know, part of this is also a part of learning about privilege too. But, you know, how do you talk about people? How do you talk about race? How do you talk about culture? How do you talk about other people in general? These are the things you have to think about, especially online. And I wish more people would think about what they say online. I mean, and I wish there was more consequences for the hateful things that people do. I haven't really had a lot of hate towards me online, and I'm saying this in a not yet situation because, you know, if the podcast takes off, then it's more than likely that I'm going to get hate mail because A, I'm a woman, and B, I'm a woman, and C, I'm a religious person, and D, I'm a fat person, and I, you know, I have pictures of me online, and I know I will get comments eventually. But for me, even knowing that that's coming, or it could come, it's hard not to be hurt by it. Because, you know, people are talking about you. People are talking about your body and your hair color and, you know, everything about you, your ideas. And it's hard not to be hurt when things like that happen. And, you know, people talk about, you know, growing a thicker skin and da-da-da-da-da. But it's not always possible to really keep it away. And if you have those old tapes in your head that you learned from a child, or you've learned from other people, because, you know, people can say things to you over and over again, and then eventually you are the one that's going to believe it and tell it to yourself. No matter how much you try to mitigate it, it will still affect you somehow. So I pray that people will think more about the words that they use. And I pray that I will always think about the words that I use online, the words that I use in my sermons, the words that I use in my podcast, as much as I possibly can. And I hope that I will get forgiveness for the times that I'm not good enough at it, or that, you know, the times that I make mistakes. Because I will make mistakes. But I hope that I will be mindful enough to kind of not make big doozies, if I can help it. So, hopefully, you've learned a little something today. And as always, you know, you can comment on this at thisweekinheresy.com. You can do it on Facebook, and I think some of you know where I am on Facebook, and there's a link to it. You can subscribe to this podcast through iTunes or the Stitcher app. And, you know, we've got forums that you can get on. And another announcement is that Between the Worlds Church is doing both a autumnal equinox Mabin community potluck. So if you would like to participate that and you're in the area, please feel free. It is Saturday, September 20th at 3 p.m. at City of Refuge Church, City of Refuge UCC, 8400 Enterprise Way in Oakland. We are also doing a Samhain service on October 18th, also at 3 p.m. It's also a Saturday. It's third Saturday, where we honor the beloved dead. And if you have beloved dead from the past year that you would like to honor and have their names read during the service, please email me at worthyadvisor@gmail.com, and I will add that name to the list. And if you can make it, that would be great. But if you, it doesn't matter where you are, if you want to add a name to the list, I will add it for you. And we will read it out loud at 3 p.m. on the 18th of October. So I hope everybody has a great week, and I'll see you next time.